Is evolution a theory or a fact? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Wayne Gerba, who was a science teacher who taught the theory of evolution as a fact.
You know, it's amazing to me how everyone wants to teach about evolution, but I've never met, you know, in high school or junior high, a teacher that talked about the possibility that there's someone that created things. It was always about everything evolved and evolved.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is, now we have to remember, it's a theory. It's not fact. No matter how many times people tell you that it's a fact, it is not a fact because it's still called the theory of evolution, not the fact of evolution. There's one thing right there, just right there staring us right in the nose. And it is a big theory and there's a lot of gaps. Even Darwin himself said that if we don't find these gaps, it totally blows away my theory of evolution. Mm-hmm. We're still looking for those gaps.
Exactly.
I haven't found the exact, you know, when this becomes this or this, and we're not seeing that type of macro evolution, meaning one species jumping to another. Haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't think you look like a fish, maybe a monkey.
Oh,
I'm kidding. But you have a molecular cellular developmental biology degree and you are in science and you tried to use that to your advantage when you didn't like Christians. But now that you're a believer, you see how much God is in creation science.
Well, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you say, well, there's no scientific backing to that. Well, just look at it. If you look at the molecular structure of everything, cut an apple, you're going to see a design of a star.
Mm-hmm.
If you study how trees, they pull carbon dioxide out and that carbon becomes glucose. That's amazing. Something out of the air coming, something solid. It really is amazing how God has made things.
Rotors and different things.
There's too much evidence that someone made this.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from our next guest, Wayne Gerba, who's going to share more about this topic after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Angel Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Want the pampering you deserve? Come to Angel Nails, your one-stop shop for healthy, long-lasting nail care, including innovative hydrating manicures and pedicures. Angel Nails is conveniently located in the Applewood Village Shopping Center at 3460 Youngfield Street in Wheat Ridge, just off I-70. Come to Angel Nails with or without an appointment or call them at 303-234-0702. That's 234-0702.
We are excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Wayne Gerba, and he was a high school teacher, an atheist, who taught advanced placement, chemistry, and biology, and just totally believed in evolution, was big time into evolution. And he actually came to know the Lord and wrote a book, and we're going to talk about this book that he dedicated to his students. So let's welcome to the show, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here.
Now, I understand that you are an atheist along with your wife, and even your parents raised you that way. They didn't want you to go to church. So when you were a teacher, this is what you taught, what you knew. But it wasn't until your 15-year-old daughter got into drugs that they told her she needed a higher power. And at that time, you knew you were not in control and you too needed a higher power. It was through that time you came to know the Lord and things changed big time for you. Later on, your daughter actually came to know the Lord too, which is wonderful. And you've written a book called Understanding Evolution, What Every Christian Parent Should Know and Share with Their Family. Tell me the heart behind this book.
Okay. For the first half of my science teaching career, I was very much an evolutionist, a Darwinian evolutionist. And I would go out of my way to influence my students with ideas and indirectly and directly kind of point them away from the Bible being a bunch of fairy stories that didn't match up to the actual science that I would show them about Darwinian evolution. When I look back on it, I can recall numerous times of dealing with this topic when I didn't really even have to. I would literally go out of my way to do that. You know, it says in the Bible in many places that people have eyes that cannot see and have ears that cannot hear. And I literally stand here as living proof of that. Once I accepted Christ as my Savior, I began to see the things that I was teaching in totally different eyes. I would read a passage in the evolution section of the book, and I began to see inconsistencies and assumptions and misinformation and sometimes downright distortions of what was going on. And I actually don't have any scientific or logical reason for suddenly doing this. I just feel that the Lord opened my eyes and stopped my ears and began to show me these things. So what I did was I thought it was time for me to start giving back to some of these students that I had led astray. I actually developed over a 10 to 12 year period an 8-hour, 1-hour shot course, 8 1-hour sessions, showing students that God is the creator and not some blind random, you know, mutation from some slime pool.
That's amazing.
As I taught this course to youth groups and young adult groups and so on, people would say, well, why don't you turn it into a book? So I finally did. I turned it into a book, and it's kind of my way of giving back. In the introduction to the book, I've said, you know, this book is dedicated to those students that I may have led astray.
Well, Wayne, let me ask you a question. As an atheist, you are thinking that Darwinian evolution would just explain away faith. Could you just point out maybe just one of the flaws that you discovered as you begin to re-look back at some of your beliefs that you had in as atheist, and that way as you became a Christian? Could you share maybe just one of those with us today?
To begin with, I hardly even know where to start here because there's so many of them. But I would tell my students little stories about, you know, the little fox that ran around and had big ears, and all the other little foxes made fun of him. But when winter came and his big ears allowed him to hear the mice running around under the snow, you know, and I would go on like this and say, you know, this is evolution. And I now realize I didn't even know what evolution was. When I really started to look into it here, I realized that, you know, that type of change is just change within a kind. It's exactly what God says in Genesis, that he made each according to its kind. And so we have a lot of kinds, and we have a lot of changes within these kinds. But when you start talking about change from one kind to another, from, you know, bacteria to some intermediate creatures to fish to amphibians and so on, right, we don't find that in the fossil record. We don't find any mechanism that can do that. And like I was kind of ignorant of the Bible, I was also a little bit ignorant of the issues of Darwinian evolution. Because I so much believed in them, I never looked for anything else. And once I started looking, all of these things began to come to light for me.
Wow.
That's really good.
It's always amazing to me that people believe that we came from a fish, you know? Because fish don't even talk.
No, but that's really good, though. Yeah.
But it's true that it does take faith to even believe in evolution. And it's wonderful that you really have had that solid belief in it and you were teaching it. But now you're able to, even through this book, understanding evolution, to dismantle those lies that you believed and bring truth. And you had mentioned to us prior to the show that even in the Bible, science is more advanced if you look in the Bible before science discovers it. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. I have a whole chapter in the book that talks about it, but just to give you one quick example here, in the original King James Version, it's in Job. There's a statement there that says that he could see the seven stars and Orion, okay? In the new King James Version, it says the Pleiades and Orion. And, of course, this was written thousands of years ago. Well, what we see now today is that when you look at the Pleiades, you can see six stars. You need a telescope to see that seventh star. And if you look at Tamil and ancient Indian writings, they all talk about the Pleiades with six stars because they could only see six stars. In Japan, if you go back in Japanese history, you see the Pleiades having six stars. In fact, the car Subaru actually means Pleiades in Japanese. And if you look on the front of the Subaru, you'll see six stars in the Pleiades. Okay. But in Job, it says quite clearly, the seven stars and Orion. So how did they know there were seven stars? How did the writer of that know there were seven stars? There's no way a human being could have known that. But of course, God knew that. Wow. And God is the writer of the Bible. And the Bible got it right. All of these other cultures, right, had to wait until we had powerful telescopes that could pick up that seventh star.
Wow.
There's just a whole host of things like that in the Bible that are just quite amazing to me, where the Bible is thousands of years ahead of science.
Well, it's wonderful, the work that you've done, and I'm definitely going to read it to my kids, because as they go to schools that are secular, they're going to be learning about evolution, and they need something that's solid coming from someone who was into evolution and teaching biology in high school and chemistry. And how can people get a hold of your book, Understanding Evolution, What Every Christian Parent Should Know and Share with Their Family?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. You just type in Understanding Evolution and put my name behind it, Gerba, G-U-R-B-A, and it'll come up. It's available on Kindle or in paperback. And I did want to say one more thing about the book, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
This book is partly written because there is an ongoing struggle for the hearts and minds of our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's secular humanism out there to get our minds, to get the minds of our children. And this book I have specifically written to take part in that battle, so that when our children are assaulted with this constant Darwinian evolution, you know, God's not the creator. You began in some slime pond life and it grew out of that and that's how you got here.
Yeah.
This book will give them the information that they need to reject that philosophy.
Mm.
And that's really a big part of my writing the book, to take part in this ongoing struggle for the hearts and minds of our children.
It's wonderful, and I know it's going to reach many thousands and hopefully millions of people through your book. Again, we have Wayne Gerba with us, and if you want to pick up that book, look at Amazon, and you can find Understanding Evolution, What Every Christian Parent Should Know and Share with Their Family. Thank you so much, Wayne, for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Father God, we thank you that you are the creator of the universe and that you know all things. And I sense that there's someone who's listening right now who's actually surprised and saying, wow, is there a God who truly knows everything? Well, not only does he know everything, he knows everything about you. He knows everything about your future, and he knows what he created you for. So in this moment, just take a moment to say, Jesus, you are the way to knowing this God. So Jesus, I give my life to you. I surrender. I ask you to come into my life, to reveal the purpose of my life, that it's not just some random goo, but it is a tapestry of art in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you. You're listening to Real Life.